competition factor at the park.
Test.
From 4 to 7, so if anyone's interested to come out and check it out.
Test.
Also, I spoke to Brian Dollar, and he will not be here either. But everybody else that I saw said they
were. Roger will be here. He's running a little bit late.
Okay. What do you do when he's late? Like, do you dock him?
I just nag him.
I was going to say, any money that you took from him, you can, you know, send.
Yeah.
So we're going to call the meeting to order at 5:03 p.m. Today is Friday, August the 19th, 2011. The Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Service at the Brookings Administrative Center in the Jennifer K. Putnam Meeting Room. I like that. Roll call.
Barbara Kessel.
Ken Turner.
Oh, sorry.
Ken Turner.
Joan Miller.
Clive Swivel.
Tom DeFantis.
Putnam Jennifer.
Mandy Rosenbaum.
And Aaron Ammons. We know ahead of time that Patricia Avery will not be able to join us today, and Brian Dolliner. We do still have not heard from Lorraine Coward or from Mike Richards, but I didn't see the email, so I don't know if they were coming or not. And Patrick Thompson said he would be coming as well. So we have an agenda in front of everyone. If you haven't been to look at the agenda, we have a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Weibel, second by Judge DeFantis. Yes.
I would ask that we move public participation up to number 5.
Oh, yes.
Like we have any, but I think more appropriate that would be right after approval minutes.
All right. So that is a friendly amendment. And so do we need to discuss that and all that type of stuff? We just all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. All right. So do we have a motion, vote to approve the agenda? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, ayes have it. And the approval of the minutes of the last meeting. Rosenblum.
Because lots of things cannot
be. That would be my mistake. I was wondering about that, actually. Rosenblum.
B-A-U-M.
Rosenblum.
I kind of like that.
Why is that such
a Rosenblum?
I was the one who was absent. There's nothing I can contribute to your voting on these, but I want to very much thank Aaron and Chair Weibel for doing that. I'll do my best to take minutes this evening. I must leave at 10 minutes before 6. So maybe we can do a group effort like this time. Thank you very much, guys.
Mm-hmm. Just on where you're talking about the radio program, it says Roger's going to let me know. It should probably be Aaron. Let Aaron know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And the judge, we'd like to have him disciplined because he never called me back and never gave me any information whether or not he was going to do the show.
Roger?
Yeah, Roger.
Oh, I didn't know he was supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, he was supposed to just call me and let me know my girlfriend had some.
All right, well, things. Deal with that. Maybe we will talk him some money.
So, but that is something that so just let's finish up with the minutes and stuff. Has everyone had a chance to read them? Ms. Miller, you comfortable? Yes, ma'am.
I missed the article by Melissa Murley about recent jury service. Could anyone give me a reminder of when it was? I could probably just do
it. Blog. I don't know if it was ever printed, but we can. It's probably still online.
I should be able to. Was it positive or negative? Find out.
Oh, it was pretty positive, I think. It's mostly positive.
We get the News Gazette in paper, believe it or not. And I remember reading it, so I think.
Oh, it was printed.
Oh, okay.
I think it got published.
Must have missed it.
It was like the day of our meeting or the day before, so we should be able to find it.
Okay. I would really like to read what she wrote.
I don't know if it was positive. I thought it was neutral. Leaning positive, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought she was trying to take a sort of neutral approach to it, but I have to read it again. I don't remember exactly.
You know, once again, while reading these minutes, there's mention of Bill's jury selection in Champaign County brochure. What a job, man. That is just fantastic. I just am so impressed with Bill's work.
Let's approve the agenda and the minutes.
I so move.
Moved by Judge DeFantis.
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. The first item for us to actually deal with on the agenda is public participation. And I'm seeing none.
Wait a minute.
The announcements and communications.
We are going to lose all three jury commissioners. I would like this committee to give some thought to nominating a member of the minority community as one of the jury commissioners. In the past, our jury commissioners have been retired people, and that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But hopefully we can get at least one person on there who might be able to help us with some outreach. Mm-hmm. And that's the thought that I'd like to see. It pays $120 a month.
And how many hours?
One morning a month.
Okay.
About 4 or 5 hours a month.
Okay, well, 125, so it's
120 a month.
Things forwarded to you?
Yes, they're appointed by the circuit court, and if we can come up with a consensus name, somebody that you've talked to, I don't care how, you know, again, whatever process you want to take up, but I think it's incumbent that we have at least one member of the minority community on the jury commission, and if we can get someone who's interested in going out and talking up the program, that's an even better bonus.
Okay.
Where would we look to find the like the requirements? You know what I mean? Like, is there a website we can direct people to?
Well, the jury commissioner has to be a citizen of the county, and I don't think there are really any requirements. They are then appointed by the circuit judges. All the judges in the circuit then submit. We submit an order, and we all sign off on it. And it's a 3-year term. And whoever this person, let's see, this person would probably take Ms. Skinner's term, finish up the remainder of her term, and then, you know, be rehired for the next 3 years.
Okay. What is the time frame? When is this going to leave that you have to appoint one by?
Well, I've got one that we've already appointed because we're running short, and as long as I've got at least one or two. Ms. Skinner is going to be with us, I think, through September. So we've got a month or two. But I think it would be appropriate for this committee to see what we can come up with.
Okay. Can I ask a few questions, James?
Sure.
Okay, I know you said, okay, that the commissioners are appointed by the circuit court, but you make the nominations and your fellow members of the bench.
Yeah, it's my choice, and then everyone else signs off on it.
Okay. The fact that we're having turnover of the entire commission all at once.
Well, we are getting on in years, right, and their health has
right,
been
right, right.
A it's question just, that we've had.
Okay, and they've served for some time.
I've got the information here.
Office, 1994, 1986, and 1991.
Wanda Adams started March of 94. Raymond Suggs, July of 76.
76.
Ms. Skinner.
76?
Yes, Ms. Skinner, December of 85. So we've not had a lot of turnover in the jury commission.
Okay. Mr. Suggs started in 1976.
Yep.
Ms. Adams in
94.
And
Ms. Skinner in 85.
Must be good for your health.
Wow. Okay. And it will when I know they meet once a month.
It's a morning meeting.
9 to 1.
Right. Well,
so
it's
that's
right.
More like
5 hours.
5 hours. But
four
is there
hours.
Some pre-meeting of the commission preparation time?
They get the questionnaires. They get the requests for. Basically they do it that morning when they come in.
Okay.
We've been doing it with Wanda. We get her the stuff sometimes the night before, but they're not overly busy. I mean they're not inundated with people. But this is a requirement that we have a jury commission, and I think it would be appropriate that this committee provide us with a name.
Right. Of course, with Mr. Suggs on the commission, there has been a member of the African-American
right.
community. Maybe at his age, maybe he hasn't been able to be a real go-getter in terms of carrying
well,
on the mission.
He's had some
right.
some health problems.
So we're looking for a person of color who is also imbued with the mission of our group.
That would be a bonus.
Who can spend 1 day per month. Okay. Would you repeat, Ms. Skinner will be with us through
September. Right.
So you need someone by October.
Right.
October.
Again, we can survive with two.
Okay.
But
okay.
We need to have that third one.
Wow, it's kind of taken my breath away. I had heard that one was going to be considering resignation, but all
three. And then all three came in. It was like bing, bing,
wow.
bing.
Wow, wow, wow.
Well, Skinner's had some knee, hip, and
okay.
replacements. And
what do you think about taking this development and using it as an educational opportunity, that in making an announcement to the public that maybe to seek applications, and maybe there could be a press conference, a media event where we talk about what it is that the commission does, not to be confused with the Jury Advisory Committee on Jury Service. Is different from the commission. But what do you think about that?
I'm thinking radio program.
Beg pardon?
Mouse and I'm your radio program. We'll talk about that.
It'd be the BCP radio program. Oh, ours as well, but WBCP.
Yeah.
My suggestion would be, however you want to publicize this, that if we can come up with a group of names, have this committee interview.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Is that something we have the authority to do? I mean,
he's giving us the authority.
I'm giving you the authority
yeah.
to do it.
He has the authority. He's giving it to us.
You tell me who it is, and we'll sign off on it. But
okay.
I think, I mean, I don't. Again, we've never done it like this before.
Mm-hmm.
This is completely new. But Roger and I thought this was the time and place to do this.
You know, Judge, I want to say something to you. I'm now 62 years old.
Yeah, I'm 65.
When I was new on the county board and was 30 years old, I had the bright idea that when there are people who want to serve on our boards and commissions, sanitary district workforce, they come in and face the county board
mm-hmm.
and take questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, both Jay Rayburn and Lyle Shields said, oh, no, Nellie, you don't want to do that. It's hard enough to get people. You want to subject them to brickbats. And I didn't mean, well, maybe I did mean brickbats for some of them, but, you know, I want a real public hearing. And now I'm wondering, do we want, you know, we want commissioners, do we think that, well, maybe if someone didn't want to appear before us or meet us, come to a
mm-hmm.
meeting, maybe that's the kind of person who we wouldn't be, that's not who we're looking for? I'm thinking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's someone who doesn't do well with groups, then that would be someone who probably wouldn't
yeah.
be out there.
Yeah.
Talking up the program.
Yeah. Now, when Pius appoints people, they come to a meeting in his office,
mm-hmm.
and they have to. He has questions, and you know, he throws in a trick question.
Mm-hmm. Probably Cubs and Cardinals.
No, it's like he has a sample of wood. I interviewed for a position. He brought out a block of wood and asked me to identify what it was. Something, I think we're buying furniture. I couldn't read. I think for a gallery.
Well, again,
I'm. Yeah, this is interesting.
I realize we sprung this on you, but I mean,
uh-huh.
it just happened last week.
Uh-huh.
So
we could advertise it, put it on the radio show, give an application date of whatever, September 15th, and you collect them, bring them to the next meeting, and then at the end of the meeting, if Judge DePonis doesn't want to be a part of this, he could leave, and we could just talk amongst ourselves about the names. I am a little concerned about us interviewing for one minority spot and not for all of them, so, and I'm not really sure I see the need for interviewing.
Forget tomorrow.
Yeah.
Get appointed.
I think it does seem like, I think it'd be helpful just to let people know somehow that it's available, because there may be people out there that are very interested in doing that, but if they don't know about it, they can't tell
mm-hmm.
us. I don't know if we want to talk about names or anything, but Patricia Avery comes to mind that she would be good if she would do it.
She's not retired.
I think she has time.
She's
well. Well, you don't have to be retired.
No, no, she doesn't have to be retired. It's that historically, that's what it's been, and it's one morning a month.
I'm somewhat concerned about making a public announcement because it could turn into 20 people. Right, mm-hmm. You know, and then we'd be obligated to interview each person, wouldn't we?
No. I think you can look at the application and see if they've been involved in the community or anything, and we can winnow it down to one or two or three.
Okay, right.
And if we want to meet, we'll have a couple of guests.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can do it that way.
Okay.
And
yeah,
this could be why I want to be on the
Like, have you recently looked at the application form that that applicants for boards and commissions complete? First, say Forest Preserve Board or MTD.
We had to do one to get this.
Oh, yeah, the one that we filled out.
It's pretty straightforward, pretty much what you want to do it.
And Pius, do you sometimes the county takes out announcements or paid?
Right, post them.
Okay.
Well, I think that the application should be fairly simple, but ask a question. What could you see yourself doing in the community to increase the minority population that comes into the jury pool? Because that's what we're about, and that's what he's offering us another person besides the minorities that are already on this committee that are already doing that. So this gets us some other person who is obviously, if we get enough people, we can pick somebody who is known in the community already. And then we've just got more.
I mean, basically, it's a volunteer position. I mean, it's not a princely sum of money, but.
Is it. I don't think that we're asking this person to. A jury commissioner. We're not asking a jury commissioner to recruit other people, minorities, or people of color, but we're asking them to be more visible and to be in the community talking about
jury service. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Like we are.
Right. Yeah. And the fact that this person is a person of color could be influential in some ways, but we don't want to say that we want a commissioner to be out, you know, recruiting black people to be on the juries. I mean, that may seem biased to somebody from the position that they're in. You see what I'm saying?
No, all we want them to do is just explain and educate the community, the entire community, about jury service.
Right. Okay. So we can think of some names. We can announce, September 1st, so probably September 3rd is another opportunity for us to do WBCP.
September 3rd is?
The first Saturday.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. That's what we had been traditionally, those few Saturdays that we did
right.
On the first Saturday. But I could talk to Mr. Perlman at any point. He may allow me to come on this Saturday and talk about it. I just want to make sure that I'm represented the way that the committee wants it to be represented.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So basically what we're saying is that we're looking for applicants. We won't even have to say people of color. We're looking for applicants to come. We can use that little thing that they always use. Minorities and women are strongly encouraged to apply.
Yes.
and we'll go from there and leave a number for them to maybe contact me or where they can get the application from. Where do they get the application from?
Where did the application?
We just downloaded ours from online.
For the jury commission though,
well,
Judge, do you have any recollection of how the present commissioners were, how they first came to
this? Okay. Mr. Suck started when we did in 76. In 76, probably Birch Morgan was the chief judge, and in 94, who was it? Would have been Townsend. 85 was probably Creed Tucker.
Oh, boy, Creed Tucker.
So,
it would have been Jensen in 94.
Jensen in 94, yeah.
Well, you know, there's the usual organizations that you would go to, the League of Women Voters, ACLU, NAACP, Urban League, and what is the present-day incarnation of the Urban League?
And there's the alternative organizations.
Name them.
Sea Citizens.
Okay.
Yeah, ACLU doesn't have any minorities.
Is the person you've selected male or female?
With two females.
Oh, okay, because you don't want all male and you don't want all female. Right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if that makes,
you can't be choosy all
makes
the time.
Any difference.
Well, so we all know that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a person of color, you know, African-American probably, to see if they can serve during this, we're talking once a month, about 4+ hours, maybe a little time outside of that, but sometime outside of that, definitely talking about jury commission and service, $120 a month, and it's a 3-year appointment.
Mm-hmm. Well, whoever... we'll finish Ms. Skinner's position. She, let me see.
It says here Skinner goes until 2012.
2012. So it would be a 1-year appointment then. Yeah, obviously.
When is 2012? January?
This is from the League of Women Voters.
I'm not sure what it was. That's what they. Wanda Adams is June of 11. I don't have the actual. I can get that information. We'll get that tomorrow. I'll get that Monday.
Judge, I'm thinking that you being retired is not a requirement, but it was somebody who can be free mm-hmm. for one morning a month.
Right. And those meetings are set out at the beginning of the calendar year, so they're calendared throughout the entire all 12 months. They're set.
Okay. All right. So we want to make sure you do it. It is. It's pretty interesting. Are there any other announcements and communications?
One. We sent out 500 follow-up letters 10 days ago.
Wow.
And we started with 500. They're due back within the next probably 10 days. So by our next meeting, we'll have an idea whether or not that follow-up letter has made any difference.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Is this the first time it's been sent? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to ask about an update on the returns. Roger said he would give us some information on that. Just to see how things have been going.
Judge, would you repeat when it's due? When the follow-up, when replies to the follow-up letter are due?
I believe it will be by the end of this month. Roger, he would know.
Good evening, Roger.
Hello.
We were just asking if Judge DeFantis knew, and he said that you would probably know when the follow-up letters would be due.
Due date is the 30th of August. So when we request to be returned.
August.
30.
I keep thinking we're in September already. So we do have a while. Because the Skinner will serve in September.
Of those 500, do you happen to know how many came back as undeliverable?
They just went out this week.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how many come back at all.
It just seems like it might be higher for the follow-ups because maybe they didn't.
Okay.
Congratulations. Thank you for doing that.
Are there any other announcements and communications? Again, I wanted to, Ms. Avery asked me to remind you all to come out to the CU Superstars event to see some young people. I'm going to, as the MC of that event, I'm going to take the opportunity to talk about you know, the importance of jury. I don't know if it's going to fit, but somehow I'm going to make it.
Oh, you'll make it.
Yeah,
you're
I
know you. You're to be judged by 12.
You don't care about 6. I don't know. Maybe it would be a good night.
Oh, so uplifting.
Yeah.
Well, the way you read it, it could be uplifting.
So I'm going to think about that, see how I can
combine it into a whole civic duty package, voting and jury duty and
right.
Volunteering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the group, creation effort here.
But I do think it's a thing that we can talk to Ms. Avery about, because when you have a group of children like this, we're talking 20 youth that I'm there to help work, you know, there should be some time set aside where she could sit them down during an intermission or something like that while they're eating and talk about the importance of this. We don't want to miss these opportunities. So I have to remind her of that when I see her.
Judge,
All right. Just announcements and communications first, just trying to get that out of the way if there was anything else.
I want to go back to the judge's announcement of the retirements. I know for Ms. Skinner, her last commission meeting will be this September.
Is it September, Roger?
Yeah, I believe that's September 21st is the date, and I believe that's going to be her last one. She's not given us written notice yet, so I'm not certain exactly how many she would be willing to attend. The more, the better, insofar as we have two new people coming on board, so any wisdom or experience she can share with them would be a good thing. But obviously getting the names of potential replacements would be...
I'm wondering if there's a way we could recognize her service, and also that this is the last time that these three will be serving together. You know, it'd be nice to have a special farewell to Wanda and a special farewell to Mr. Suggs, too, but we could maybe do all of them, recognize all three of them in recognizing that this is the last time that the three of them will be serving us as this three-person unit together.
Jeff?
One of the things that I discussed with Roger was getting a certificate from the General Assembly for each one of them commemorating their terms as jury commissioners. We will also use some of our marriage fund to give them a gift, gift certificate or something. So I'm going to work on the certificate from the General Assembly. I should know about that by Monday.
Wanda and Jean are done. They won't be at the next meeting. Anna's will be the only one who is from there with those original three that we've had.
And that's September 21st, you said?
Correct. 91 in this room. From what I understand, Wanda's doing well, which is a good thing. I think Jean's been doing it for 35 years, I'm sure Judge DeFont has pointed out, so it's... Certainly
serve
as well.
So okay.
The General Assembly can pass resolutions when they're not in session.
Don't ask me how this happens. I just, it's a nice certificate.
Signed by. A certificate, not a resolution.
Yeah, signed by the Speaker and whoever sponsored it.
As opposed to going through and reiterating the goals and objectives, I think that we can just announce that I think we've done quite well in staying on task. We had the pamphlet that we talked about. We've done radio ads, and we did great communication through the radio and through Champaign Urbana Day, and we're going to continue to do that. So I think that we're right on course with that. We don't have to go back and reiterate all of that. I'm quite pleased. We've got the questionnaires. We've got the follow-ups. There's quite a bit going on in relationship to that. Roger, we did discuss the fact that you never got back with me about going on the radio and the 100 questionnaires where it was a day late and a dollar short. But we won't get into all of that right now.
Do you want to talk about your email at 11:39? Do you want
to talk about that one? Roger said, it's about midnight. All of a sudden, my phone's gone. Yeah, what's this?
My blurry eye, I'm like, can we talk about this now? I don't think so. Sleep seems to be more priority for me.
But you
and
never get back.
Right here in my hot hands are your sample questionnaires.
Next time.
Right. Ready. You can include that on the local notice.
So I think we can still use those. Like I said, with the thing that Ms. Avery has and the opportunities that I have at Speak Cafe, I can talk to people. I will be making sure that I use the opportunity to share with people that information and get out those sample questions.
Did you already do the League of Women's Voters thing?
No, that's in September, right?
Well, that's what I have to ask you about. I'm really sorry, but we had to change the date, and I was wondering if November 10th would be okay.
Okay. I have to check it when I get home to see what day is that.
It's a Thursday, November 10th. One problem for you might be that the next day starts a holiday, 3-day week.
Well, I'll look at it when I get home, and I'll send you an email.
Okay,
sure.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I have an announcement.
Okay.
I live with someone who recently received a letter. Then got the juror qualification questionnaire, and he asked me to put the mail in, mail it back to Linda Frank. I said, you got the juror qualification questionnaire? Did you read that letter from Judge DeFantis? But thanking him for his service as the cornerstone of our American system of legal justice? And he said, no. I said, you didn't read that letter? I said, wow. Of course, he knows that it's his duty. But I just thought that was interesting that he just put it in the recycling. So that's what some people do. But that's, you know, the very next day, he was having me drop it in the mailbox, his reply. But I said, man, that's an awful good letter.
You guys wrote it.
Okay, so we've already did the, we switched those around. Our presence at the Champaign Havana Day, Jenny had requested that we put that on there. And then my contribution, I believe that it was fun, you know, to be out sharing information. I would have preferred that we had a booth that was, you know, strictly for that, because I was there doing several things at once. But having the opportunity to talk to people, only maybe a couple of people was like, yeah, give me that, quit talking. Most people were, you know, they stayed there for a minute, and there was at least a couple of points that engaged them. Because regardless of what we say, people still say, oh, yeah, if you're a registered voter, you... I mean, it's like stuck in people's head that is it. That's the only way that you can be in the pool. I was like, wow. No, I'm telling you that's not just it. There's other ways. And January 1st, there'll be another way for you to be in the pool. But I took the time to really absorb the pamphlet. And the pamphlet is just so clear, crystal clear, and thorough. And I think that any further education that we do around it has to have those pamphlets in it. Mm-hmm. Reading from the pamphlets, whatever it is, but those things, that pamphlet is amazing. And I really appreciate the time and effort and the clarity of it, because it really walked. I felt educated more about the process when I finished reading it so thoroughly. So I thought it went a long way. We passed out, I think I only had maybe 10 or 15 of those at home. You know, it started raining and we had to pack up and leave. But we'll have ample opportunities to get more out, but we talked to lots of people, introduced them to members of the committee. It was quite well. I don't know if anybody else wants to say.
I had fun doing it, and I talked to at least three people that served on juries. Right. One of them in Champaign County. One of them was the friend of yours from New York that served on a couple there. But I kind of think it helped. I think it was good for me having you there at your booth to kind of get people there for some other reason, and then we could talk. And then you kind of helped introduce them and stuff. And I don't know, they just seem a little bit more likely to come up and talk and stuff. And then for a while, I took some pamphlets and just kind of walked around and tried to give them to people, and that wasn't quite as successful. I mean, people, you know, when you come up to them with something, they think you're selling something, or you're undercover cop or something.
Well, yeah, what you brought up really reminded me of that. There was two people who served that we talked to. The one gentleman had served like three times. Like you said, in New York and then once here. But they were willing to be a part of the proposal that we had to assemble a panel of actual ex-jurors. Mm. He said he'd be willing to do something like that. And so it was certainly beneficial, and I thought we got a lot out of it. We have contact information for this gentleman to come and be on that panel to have that discussion. And he was willing to talk in depth about what that experience was like, you know, being in the deliberation room, right? And what happens when a person of color is present. He thought that in one particular case, the verdict was based upon his decision, that he didn't think that the police had proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt. And he said there was no question in his mind, had he taken the position of guilty, then everybody would have went with guilty. But when he took the position of not guilty, there was one person in the room that they had to talk to and bring around, and eventually voted not guilty. But it was an interesting explanation of the dynamics of the room, how it changed, you know. So
it was probably 11-1 not guilty, but as long as he was in that group, that, you know. They felt more comfortable sticking with that verdict.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So it was interesting to talk to him about that. So we had some really good conversations with people about their service. Mm-hmm. And there was this one guy like, I'm not serving on no jury. He just was closed completely. We was like, okay. You know, I don't know what you do in a situation like that. Just, you know, just not a whole lot. Have a nice day. Right? You know, here's an onion. Yeah. Yes.
Well, the nice thing about that day, the day in the park, people are in a relaxed mood. The schedule, well, heck, you know, you're going to watch the mayor's, what was his basketball
game? Yeah, Mayors of Mayhem.
The Mayors of Mayhem basketball game, or the young talent people singing. But it's really a loose day, and it's mm-hmm. a good day to engage people in conversation. It was just the perfect setting.
They also had
And for the people who only saw Bill's brochure here and didn't see the finished piece, what is impressive is the art that he added, because there is the scales of justice in a faint imprint, and then the boxed text about, you know, hints, things that you can do to help. Did you bring any comments?
No,
it is just first rate.
Yeah, it was great.
I couldn't hold back Bill Brown.
I was just going to say they also had a voter registration table there, and I could put some of the pamphlets over there.
And we also had the most frequently asked question thing. So we had several different things that were there that for people to take with them. And I thought it was good. We just need to do more of that, you know.
What do you think about taking them to the Superstars event? Sure.
I think we should definitely take them and have them on the when I make the announcements. I'm trying to sort of talk about it. I can let people know that the brochures are on the table to make sure they get one. Or we could ask Trish to put them in the programs. Mm. Stuff them in the programs.
I wouldn't mind having some to take up north.
Okay.
If possible.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, Bill, I don't know how you got those printed up. Would you have to cover the cost and stuff yourself?
Yeah, I just can't go. I could do some more.
Okay, so Patrick's digging in his pocket. He said,
how much were they?
I think it was $20 for 100. You can probably get cheaper if you have it printed, but Kinko's is a little higher because it's a different process.
Okay. If you think it's a pamphlet that will last us a long time, I mean, I think I've mentioned this before, the Bar Association, the State Bar Association, gives out grants of up to $500. And I mean, it's not hard to fill out an application. The worst they can do is say no, but they can give us $500. So
yeah, that would print us a lot.
Print up a ton of them if you want to.
I would assign Randy to that application process.
Yeah, it's easy. Actually, I mean, I've done it before.
Okay, so will you do that for
us? Yeah, you're really good at that. You know,
I like that delegation.
I like that delegation.
I learned it from Eric.
Then you can email to me.
I think I have a hard copy in my office.
Just for people to see, that would be still
good. Well, you can just send it to me and I'll print it.
I think if you grab it, it's for people to see it, just for people to pass it around.
If I go there, I look for the application. It's not a lot. I think the reason is this is not a standing committee. It's just an application form for standing committees. But Kat probably has it somewhere.
I'll send to the judge I'll send you what I wrote for applying to serve on this.
Right.
But what do you think about when you put your eyes on the brochure that Bill made? You might think about including it with the juror qualification questionnaire in that first letter. I mean, if we produce a lot of them, especially if we get this,
I think it's written pretty much for our target audience, so I don't know if it's written for the general audience.
And Deb Busey is going to be watching the postage very carefully, and the more you add, the more it costs.
I'm just thinking
it costs us time when we stuff them, so we're already doing the additional letter and that sort of stuff. So I think you're right, probably focus on the target audience.
Well, this time I could just go to Kinko's again, and then I think maybe if we get a grant to print some, we might want to have somebody with some design experience actually, you know, fluff it up a little, make it look nice.
I'm sorry, the copy I have is actually from the last meeting.
So maybe Barbara, you out there? Did you want to add anything?
No, I agree. Wonderful.
So we have a couple of more events coming up. I will make sure it's Speak Cafe on September 1st. I will have them. Quad Day is Sunday. Sunday. You know, and on Nevada Street, where you have the African American Studies Department and Program, La Casa, Native American House, we can have some out there at different tables. So we can go out there and maybe pass some out. I don't know how much of a target, it's still, you're reaching, quote-unquote, the minority population, but students aren't typically going to serve on the juries, but the information that they receive still will be spread, you know what I mean, to their various, you know, homes and stuff, and they'll have accurate information if we want to put some out there, too.
How do you go ahead with that part, huh?
I'll be out there.
Yeah. Student Legal Services are booth there somewhere, so if you want to give some to Tom Betts, he probably will put that on the same.
So what, let's, if each of us would just think of two or three different target locations that we think would help us put them in, so when we print them on each other more after we get the grant and stuff like that, we know we can at least have them in these locations. And then maybe we could design talks, you know, or whatever, at those locations or close. So something like that. Let's say, for instance, if we had a, if we were to go to the barbershop at Rose and Taylor, right, you know, we could hold, we could just go in one day, talk to the guys there, and say, listen, we want to set up here for a couple of hours and just talk to the folks that come through here. You know what I mean? And they'll be open to stuff like that. But, you know, I think those are some of the things that, that I can do. You know, and some of us, all of us could organize, but certainly myself, people like Patrick, Ken could come on down and visit us, get a fade, fresh fade down here at the whip or something, you know. And you know, Sean could probably cut your hair, Randy. Patrick.
What about the churches? What's the...
You know, we can still, now we can, I think we have something now that we can actually go to them with and say, at least can we come and put this on the tables, can this be a part of your information? Can you announce this? Mm-hmm. You know, but before we didn't have anything to give them. You know, now we actually have something to give them, and maybe they can play a part in and actually come to the meeting and say, "Hey, I want to be involved." Andre has already been here, so certainly we could organize something at the Boys and Girls Club that's strictly around jury service. Maybe try to invite parents out to it.
They actually haven't mentioned this to Judge DeFantis because it makes me cry to think about, but. The sheriff and I are working on a project to have literally every single third grader in the Champaign Unit 4 school system come through the courthouse for a tour. We're working with the different, he's working closely now trying to do the scheduling. He and his secretary, Teresa, that they're working on, I believe there are 33 classes worth of kids.
Send every kid home with a brochure.
Exactly.
Wait, every third grader in the entire
Unit 4.
It doesn't matter scheduling. The reason it's a little challenging is you have that many students, but you also don't just want them to go down to the Abraham Lincoln exhibit and just see that. That's a good thing, though. We want to include that. But we also need a place, a free courtroom to bring them into so they can sit there and ask the questions of third graders.
Well, how did you get, why third grade and not fourth grade?
I have no idea how. The sheriff is the one who got tied into this thing. I was kind of brought in because I'm normally the person at the courthouse who does a lot of the tours. So I'm not exactly sure why third graders were picked. Whether they worked with principals or the superintendent or how it all transpired, but I believe he indicated that there will be 33 classes of them, 30 at a time roughly, coming through. And I recommended late afternoons for the period of time to come in because it's generally a quieter time with more courtrooms available. So he and his secretary and I are going to be getting together to try to organize the schedule, and obviously we'll make handouts a part of the experience, and we'll let you know, and you're welcome to attend also, obviously.
Well, this might be just too late to even say, but I do reading tutoring with second graders and third graders both, and in terms of reading this thing we have to hand out, fourth grade would make a huge difference.
Well, I'm more interested in
the ability to read it, actually.
Yeah, I'm more interested in them actually being able to take it home and give it to their parents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a while before someone who is, let's see, that's 8 years old, 10 years before they're going to get a chance to actually do it. So for me, if we can get their parents to read it or, you know, tell them, gee, show this to your mom and dad or show this to your whoever and talk to them about how important it is, you know.
Well, third grade's better than nothing.
My son's starting fifth grade, but my recollection is third grade, there's like a unit on court systems and stuff, because I remember my son about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, mentioned it. That might be why they picked third year, third grade. So.
Well, it's a good piece for us to just, we're in this education mode, so all the different aspects that we can think of, and different ways that we can implement them. You know, we can do things on a whim. You've got a stack of them. You can go into a place and sit down and just talk with a group of people and just report back to us and tell us how it went. So education is just about talking to people and about giving them accurate information. So
and if you had a group that you think would benefit from coming to the courthouse, give me a call. I mean, I can make that happen with just about any group, but, you know, we'll schedule it and work it out. We've had lots and lots of groups come through, and we'll continue to do that as part of our outreach.
Okay. Good. Yeah, Patrick?
Randy, Roger, and Judge, so how is the numbers now? I mean, what are you guys seeing as far as...
See, this is where Aaron asked me for an update on this. Yes, man, we have gotten the agenda point on this, and this is usually where I tell him I don't have it, but I actually have it. Okay. I actually do.
So well, let's close out. Are we done with the presence at CEW? Anybody comfortable with that? Any questions from anybody who wasn't there, Barbara?
How soon can we get a bunch of the printout?
So Will, William and Bill and Randy are going to?
It'll probably realistically take a month to... I mean, I could send the request out on Monday to the ISBA, and it's up to them how long it takes them. I guess it'll be at least a month for that.
That's for the grant part of it, but right. Will, you said there's a way
keep
to...
Keep the receipt. Maybe we can...
Keep the receipts, and I'll... We'll talk to the chief about using some of our marriage fund.
The money is not, that level of money is not really an issue. We can get you reimbursed.
Yeah, we'll use the marriage fund to reimburse you.
Because it's when is the Superstars?
Tomorrow.
Oh, no. You got 24 hours. Now, come on.
Kinko's closes at 11.
Leave it alone, Roger.
You're doing much better. You're doing much better than 11:30 here. So you're yellow windows.
September 1st is the next
Speak Cafe. Oh, my God, everything's happening.
You miss Superstars, you miss Superstars. I mean,
well, there'll be a...
But now, See You Superstars is a good, good spot. I can take the rest of the ones that I have. Bill, Kid.
I'm sorry.
I can take the rest of the ones that I have. But if that's possible to get something... I mean, See You Superstars, and it doesn't start till 4 o'clock tomorrow. Doors open at 3:30. So if it's possible to get 50 ran off, right, and inserted into the sleeves, you're talking about this is a group of African-American children, so the audience is going to be full of African-American people. Okay? So it would be a great opportunity to do that.
Okay. If I can, I'll try to get some to you tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
Where is that?
It's going to be at Parkland Theater.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now, if we're done with 7, we can move on to 8. I know Jennifer has to leave, right. So if we can continue to other folks to jot down notes,
and
anything that you guys have, send it to me, and then I'll compile it and send it to
you. Jennifer, do me a favor and email me, and I will send you the spreadsheet that has the information on it with the returns on our questionnaires.
Okay.
So that way you can put it in there.
And maybe sometime we can talk about, in case we have bad public reaction to the legislative action that we achieved, this is something that was written by the News Gazette 4 years ago, and this is just to prepare you for what might follow. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Judge Seidman calling it nonsense on stilts and the dumbing down. I'd like to think of ways also how we can work with the people who are going to be making it happen to, find out what apprehensions they might have. If there's any ways that we can make people warm to collecting the unemployment statistics, the claims for unemployment insurance. Thank you.
Okay.
It's wonderful to see everyone.
All right. See that, mm-hmm. All right. So number 8 is the other business. We discussed we discussed being on the radio, but we haven't followed up any further on the radio ad. This communication with Mr. Purple is not going as smooth as I would like for it to go. I've been inviting him to come so that he can talk to the entire group. And so I will table that one more time until September, to see if he can actually come and speak with us and see if we can set something up. And we've talked about the other types of public education. Update on returns.
I said I did have returns, and I do. They're not nearly what I had hoped as far as the percentages go, but here is a breakdown of the 7,435 questionnaires that have been returned to date indicating race data. 6,535 were white, for a percentage of 87.9%. African Americans totaled 580 for a total percent of 7.8%. So, and there were only 27 individuals who indicated that they were of Hispanic. Indicated the race that they were Hispanic. 211 indicated they were Asian. And there are 66 indicated other. Native American was 16, and that makes up your 7,435. To do a little comparison, I looked at, and Bill could help me because he's much more versed with the data than I am. When I looked at the 2010 census data, it showed that Champaign County had a 12.4% population for African Americans, when that was for all for all ages. Now, I didn't have a specific breakdown, and Bill may have this off the top of his head, but the other information I saw was that approximately 80% of all people in Champaign County are 18 years of age or over, of all races. So if you multiply the 12.4 times 80%, you end up with 9.92% of individuals who could be, and this is an approximation, of course, above 18 in African Americans, so we are about 2% different between our questionnaire responses and what the community is. It's not horrible, but any discrepancy is not good, and Bill can, I'm sure.
I don't think you'd multiply those together. If it's 80% of the people are above 18, then you can assume that the distribution, it's not exactly, but the distribution is still going to be about 12% African American. Probably a little bit higher because African American population is a little bit younger. So you don't take 80% of the 12%.
Okay.
It's still 12% or maybe 14%. The only other thing would be sometimes people that identify as African American here might have said on the census that they were mixed race, and there is a category for mixed race. It's usually about 1% more. So you're probably looking at about 13 or 14%.
So our target number, what do you think would be 12%?
I'd have to double check, but I'd say closer to 13 or 14. Well, let's see. Now, the age would bring it down.
Right, that's why, yeah.
The age would really bring it down by 1% probably, or 2%.
Juggle it, yeah.
And then the other would bring it up. So, yeah, probably looking at about
12 to 13%. So we're definitely not where we want to be, that's for sure.
Rod, can I see that? What you get?
Yeah, I mean, it's got my scribbles on it about the percentages and whatnot, but you're welcome to see it. And I can... I got that information today from Kirk, so that is his, and it was this afternoon, so it's as up to date as it gets.
So Judge Stefano said that he sent out, or you guys sent out 500 follow-up letters, so that's half of the people who hadn't returned yet of this last group?
Say that again.
You said that there were 7,400 questionnaires sent, you got about 6,500 back. So
that's the first questionnaire. That does not include the second questionnaire. So those are
the follow-up letter went to those that group that didn't get it, we didn't get it.
We did not get a response from that, is correct.
Okay.
So we got no response from them, including, not that they had a bad address, we got nothing back. We took 500 of those individuals, identified them, sent out a secondary letter, which basically, I gave a copy to Judge Yafanis. It's very similar to the initial letter we sent out, except that it indicated to these people that they did receive the questionnaire before. It's their duty to respond, that there are contempt proceedings that can be brought up if they don't, and we really want them to take a few minutes and send it back in. I asked Judge DeFries, and he and I agreed, which is probably scary, that sending out more than 500 at once, we should, before we go to the expenditure and time of seeing how successful that is before we do that. So we thought a sample of 500 was a good starting point. And with a relatively short turnaround time, of August 30th, we should get a pretty good idea of how successful that is going to be to send those out and see. And by the time we have our next meeting, I'll be able to tell you of the 500 that we sent out, how many we got back, and what their responses were as far as race. Okay.
So this is a work in progress. I think you have to get discouraged by any means. We just want to continue to work this, and and see what is this. What it will produce. Judge DePonte's
right.
One of the things that we need to think about is if we are not making what we think to be appropriate progress, one of the things that our expert, I drew a blank, Paula said, she thought it was more efficient just to go to straight summons, cut out the questionnaire and go to the summons. So, I mean, we have some other things to discuss, some other avenues, but...
And it's cheaper, too, obviously, if we're only sending out one mailing.
Right.
As opposed to two, you know, it does make a big difference.
Have we ever done that?
Well, that's how we used to do it in the old days.
But we would get out we got a 25% return.
That's why we went to the two-stage system.
So
20 years ago?
No.
When we went to a continuous jury.
So it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Now we have a benchmark.
Yes, and it's actually self-reported data. So I mean, it's as accurate as we're going to get it. We ask people to tell to identify themselves, and that's what they told us.
I think we're having the ability now to say, okay, we changed the questionnaire. We've used that for a few months. We can see did that help. Now we're doing follow-up letters. We'll do that.
Well, and we also include Judge DePonte's letter to see if that would make a difference.
Exactly, so we can see which steps, in our own opinion, help the most. But then at the end, when you're doing all of these things. If you're still at 7%, then we have to think about changing the whole system.
Patrick, yeah, or what other, you know, avenues?
Patrick.
Okay, 7.8%. So what is the target goal here? The 12? What is the?
Yeah, those are my scribbles. But what you see on the right in my handwriting, and that's the reason I didn't make photocopies and hand it out, is what the 2010 census said
12.4
percentage for that particular population.
So what's the target?
I think if we should be close to 9 or 10.
9 or 10.
I'd say a little closer to 12, probably. I could check. But.
Well, Paula put together a formula for. Where they feel there's a spread where you should be within that spread. If you're not within that spread, if you're below the spread, then you're missing the entire minority population. I had that, and I provided that, I think, about a year ago.
It has gone up 1 or 2% since you did that.
Yeah,
the population did the African-American population in Champaign County did increase.
So what, 10%? I think we should...
As a minimum?
Yeah.
So the population... So are you looking at the Champaign County population?
Right.
Yes.
So the Champaign County population, what, 180,000? What?
No, 201,000.
201,000. So you said 12%.
That's what the census data says, the U.S. census data.
So that's only, what, 12,000?
24,000.
I mean, 25,000?
24,000.
I'm thinking it's more minorities in the community than 25,000.
Well, the one... They identified themselves. Remember, the census.
Right, I understand what you're saying.
You could be right.
That's just my thought, that there's more than 25,000 some people in the community. The summons, what is that? Is that a...
That's just an order to appear.
That's an order to appear. Now, is that a court order, or if they don't show, they could be criminally charged?
They can be held in contempt.
Yep. Held in contempt.
Yep.
It's subject to the court's contempt power. And that's what's in that second letter that we sent out basically says, and it's not harshly said, it's not something that threatens people, but it does indicate that that is the recourse is to the court's use of the court's contempt power.
Okay. Is that fully enforced all the time?
We
haven't done it. There's only one county I know of, two counties that I know of, Kankakee. And Macon used to do it, and I'm not sure they do it anymore. They used to bring these people in, have the sheriff bring them in, and they'd fine them $100.
Now, these were the response rates for the questionnaire return or the summons?
Questionnaire. There's no racial captured data on the summons.
So we still don't know for sure that all 10 or 12% of African Americans are receiving the questionnaires.
Right.
We don't know.
The only thing we can say from that is that of those individuals who return the questionnaire, 7.8% of them identified themselves as African American.
So you don't know if those 5,000 that did not return it
because maybe they weren't on the master list. Right. So, you know,
right.
It's probably not that high a percent, but there may be, you know, especially since we thought it was important enough to do the unemployment, to add unemployment to the list to pick up more minorities. Maybe that'll help it a little bit. But
I think given we would be hard to miss somebody now, really, given...
With the master list.
Yeah. Yeah, with that master list, it would be hard to miss someone.
Unless they move within the past year or so. Mm-hmm.
So, just to back up a little bit for me, to be clear, the 7,435 questionnaires that went out, we have to reduce that. It seems odd, something doesn't seem to add up to me, that if we're only sending out 7,435, but the potential jurors in Champaign County is 180,000,
130,000. No. The population is 201,000.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're all above eligible, the age of 18.
But that's, you said 80% of that.
Well, and Bill can correct me on that. It's about 80%.
So we're talking 160,000 people, right? Okay, so if we only send to 7,400, how can we accurately say that the African American population is not properly represented if you have reduced the pool so much?
Because it's random.
Right.
You have to assume.
Right.
So because it's random, then the population ratio should stay the same.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Is the Caucasian population matching its numbers?
No, it's higher. The
Asian is higher?
No.
No.
Caucasian numbers were 6,535 of those who indicated a race out of the 7,435
that were returned.
That were returned,
right?
Which they gives them Caucasian,
which was 87.9%.
And what is the percentage of the population?
73.4. So they are higher by 14%. And Hispanics are, their percentage was less than 1%, 0.4%, and they, according to the census data, they are 5.3% population.
So mathematically, Bill, how do you explain it?
Well, I mean, it's because people aren't returning them or they aren't receiving them. I mean, Hispanic, you know.
No. I'm talking just strictly with the white population. How is it their numbers can be that high?
Well, it has, percentage-wise, it has to work out to 100%. So if one's low, something else has to be high. Right?
Yeah.
Because it all adds up to 100% no matter how you slice it.
Does that...
And you have to remember, there's an other category where they... I don't know whether they just didn't indicate or what that other means. I haven't had a chance to talk to Kirk about it because he sent it to me right before I left for my doctor's appointment. But there's almost 1% of them that say other. So, and I don't know what that means.
Also, just to kind of keep in mind, the census population does count non-citizens. So a lot of Hispanic and Asians may not be citizens. They may not read English sometimes. So that may keep them from returning it. Or they may just think, well, I'm not a citizen, I don't need to return it.
And you got to remember that we have a very transient community with the student population. So even though our population is 201,000, that includes the students that were captured by the census data at that
time here.
So
let me try to make sure that I can follow this. So you're saying that the folks, the numbers, this 1,000, basically, that didn't return. Isn't it about 1,000?
How many were sent out?
Okay, I'm accounting for all the ones that were sent out where race... Okay, you have to understand. The number, the 7,435 that we're talking about, are only the ones that got returned where race was indicated.
Okay,
so that's what they didn't return. So if they didn't return it, it's not on here.
Okay.
So of those 7,435 who returned it, indicated a race... 6,535
gap
indicated Caucasian, 87.9.
So how many was sent out total?
Total? The last batch that we sent out, I think, was right around 11,000.
Okay. So there's 3,000 some odd that were not returned.
And I think it's probably higher than that. It's probably closer to, I mean, that's probably a low.
So my question is based around that if, let's say, hypothetically, if those 4,000 were returned based upon, and they were all consistent with the population, with the demographics, that they were, let's say, that the ratios were correct, then that would balance out this?
Theoretically.
Theoretically, it would balance out then the white population would go down to 73 and the rest would come up to what it was supposed to. If all of things, if all things considered were accurate like they were supposed to.
If we believe, and of course we have no way of capturing it, we don't know, and because we'll never know, because they don't send it back, we don't know what the racial characteristics are of someone who doesn't send it back. We have no way of knowing that. So all we can do is try to get education out there to everybody that it's important for them to respond. Because we don't know what populations.
Randy, did you have something to add, Patrick?
Well, I guess I was just going to add that, okay, so we have 4,000 out there. You can identify, if we get some back now, between now and the end of the month, we can ascertain what segment of the population needed that second letter as motivation or whatever.
Right, precisely. Yeah, the 500 that we sent out will come back. There's a special code for them, and we can track them separately than we track anybody else. We can find out what their how many of them sent it back, and if so, if they indicate a race, what that race is.
Okay, Patrick.
So the 4,000, you're saying about 4,000 that at this point has not came back, and we don't know what the makeup is.
That's since like basically the first of the year. Okay, we're not talking about like forever. We're talking about within the last eight, nine months.
8, 9 months. Okay, so that's pretty.
Because our pool dropped, and we had to send out a lot in a hurry. So we sent out 11,000 just as fast as we could get them out there because our numbers that were eligible in the pool were
so low. That 4,000 can consist of college students, could consist of a lot of different.
It could be 100 different reasons.
It could be 100 different. Okay. So I guess my other question is how many actually. When you sent out that 11,000, how many actually went to the African Americans? How many actually went
to... Let me piggyback on that. I want to ask a question. This is something that, Patrick, you brought up a long time ago. Because the only way, for me, just all of a sudden I feel like we're searching for a needle in a haystack because we can't really target. We can't identify if African Americans are not sending this the questionnaire back. I believe this committee needs to send a thousand questionnaires to African American people and see if they send them back. Even if it's not,
how do you identify them?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying that for us to actually know if
you can do by census tract.
We have to do something that targets that population, or there's no way that we're going to ever know.
Well, and I think that one thing we ought to do, if we're going to go down that road, is talk to Paula. Okay? Because the last thing we want to do is to have this backfire on us somehow, that now because we're trying to do the right thing and get our population, our juror population, to mirror what's in the community, that somehow we've now fouled the jury system.
Yeah, I mean, we're already doing it, basically. We're sending out 11,000. We can, if you want to do the census track or census block thing, we can identify which of those we sent out. We sent to African American census blocks and figure it out.
In other words, what parts of the community with zip codes, respond.
And that won't be 100% accurate, but it'd be more accurate than just...
Right, and we also will get a snapshot of it by if people send back what their second one is. When they send that back, if we notice that the number of second ones that come back have some sort of demographic information, a predominance of one race or another, then we will know that.
Jeff, do you have something?
Well, if we did it, if we determined that we wanted to send out 400 to 300 questionnaires to a certain census tract that we believe identifies African-American communities, we can move that census tract. Every month we can send a different group, a different number out to different census tracts so that we're not necessarily only targeting the African-American community. We're doing it on a rotating basis but we would still be able to figure out what our returns are from those census tracts where we think we have a majority.
I'll second that because I'm just interested in to the brothers only. That might set a dangerous precedent.
Yeah,
my other thought is, what if we don't send them a questionnaire? What if we send them a questionnaire form? No, just a question. Have you ever filled out a jury questionnaire? Yes or no. One check mark, one box, send it back. And then indicate what your race is and send it back.
Maybe the chances of them not sending that back would be the same as...
I don't think so. The same thing. They throw it away.
But it's my concern here. I mean, if it works to target census tracts, that's awesome. I want to do that. But my concern here is if you do anything that makes this not random, I don't know what the legal ramifications are, as we said.
No, I just think we're already doing
that. You know what I mean? I would love
that.
For that to be true, and we could do it, but I don't know what that means.
But if we send out the questionnaires to a census tract, we get a better response. All we're doing is putting those people into the pool. The randomness is when the computer picks the people out of the pool. Now, I can understand where you, if you're trying to stack the pool, and they had that problem in Kankakee.
Yes, exactly.
Where they were, well, no, they were actually putting a large number of African-American potential jurors into given courtrooms. But these are things we have to think about.
Yeah,
these are things that we have to...
Patrick, you had something.
I guess my other, you know, so I'm saying, so we don't know if they're getting them. We don't know if they're not filling them out. We don't know if their addresses are correct. We don't know.
Well, the addresses are correct.
Because they would bounce back to us saying, this is not a good address. We're not talking about those people.
So, okay, if the address is good.
Then they just ain't either local.
What is the possibility they don't no longer live there, or that person doesn't live there, or they're using that address? They could be using that address as a mailing address. But then my other question is, if, because I think, I think if we go back and say, okay, well, what is the best way to get African Americans to understand that these things that the questionnaires, the summons, or is to have some kind of where we are, the advertising and marketing is something that I think that has to kind of, with the radio stations.
Increase.
Yeah, with the news media, because there's a population that will watch the news. There's a population that will listen to the 105.5 station. And that's a real young population that listens to that. That if you send a questionnaire, they probably are going to toss it. Because they're not going to be wanting to be a part. They're going to just say no at that age.
Well, you know, the point that you're raising.
So I'm just saying that's a sure population that probably won't even get it, or will just toss it. So I think if we're going to make them be accountable to about getting on the jury or filling out these questions, then I think we have to say something to them, something to that nature to them. And I don't know. I mean, it sounds like the radio and the advertising is the best method to getting them to acknowledge that. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that would just cover it, but I'm just saying that's just my thought on that.
You know, we don't know what the issue is, and I think this group's doing everything right. From the very beginning, are enough minorities getting in the pool?
Right.
We sponsored legislation to increase the pool.
Right.
Are the minority people, Asians, blacks, everybody, concerned about the questions, embarrassment, where we changed the questionnaire?
Right.
You know, now we're afraid, okay, are some people not returning it because they forget about it or throw it out and they need to know how serious it is? We now have a second letter. You know, I think we're doing everything at every step, and we're doing the best we can with statistics and tracks and stuff to figure out what the problem is. But I think we're doing everything right. We're doing it very systematically. So
maybe Randy will agree with me. Patrick and I have discussed this. We don't see many 18, 19, 20-year-olds on our juries.
Period.
White, black,
right.
Period. They're retired. They're whether it's the minority community or not. We just don't see that group of people that you would normally see working at McDonald's or at Walmart or at, you know, we're missing that entire segment of our population, the young people.
So
percentage-wise, it's probably a greater variance
than
the 7% to 12%.
Because
we have such a huge young population, and the percentage of jurors we get is minuscule. I mean, most people are in their 20s and 30s or older.
Are students pretty much automatically excluded?
Well, if they're registered to vote in their home county,
say they're Parkland students, are they automatically excused from duty if they say I'm a student?
No, we have some Parkland students.
Well, one of the questions around this is
voting age, college age, and all that kind of different stuff. So if you say that of 24,000 African Americans, 80% of those are eligible voters, right? This is based upon the numbers, right? So that gives us a particular number. And then when you say we don't have young people serving and college age people serving, then that dwindles the number even more. So does that mean then, after those numbers dwindle, that the number that we are coming up with is actually close to the population that is left to serve? Am I making sense?
Maybe. I don't know. But see, that's the thing. You know, we're dealing with so many unknowns here. We don't, we can't really target it because we don't know who's not responding.
So that's my last point, and I'm going to turn this over to y'all because I got to get to a parent-teacher conference. But
I want to wrap the whole thing up.
Okay, yeah. So my last point was that the culture that you talked about a long time ago, you talked about trusting the system, right? Just like we keep running into all these people who think that if you're a registered voter, you're in the pool. There's just a tremendous amount of years of education that's going to have to take place to change how people see this, right? And we have to just do those things and keep doing those things because otherwise the culture of it doesn't change because we have one day or one thing. We have to, this is just going to be an ongoing thing that's never going to stop, the education around this.
Right. There's no defense.
And our disposition in the community that we're trying to target, especially with young people, right, with the history and all that kind of stuff, that's just going to take time to address. And I think we're doing, like Randy said, quite a bit of stuff to actually address that. You know, and the last thing that was brought to my attention after Carol brought this up to me was just like the summons is an option.
Mm-hmm.
Also, an option is to just send people the three questions. Are you 18? Are you a U.S. citizen? Right? The three actual requirements.
It will change the way trials are conducted.
It would, and it would cost more time and all that type of stuff.
Right, right.
But it's another option.
Yeah.
Right? To just, so people are not.
Again, you know, we have to think about this and
yeah.
We're not done. Yeah. That's obvious.
Well, that's for sure.
If you got, okay, so if you are not seeing young 18 to early 20s. And that's minority, Caucasian,
that's everybody.
So if that, then that, to me, that would be, because I can tell you, I know 10 individuals young that don't even know what a questionnaire is.
Right.
May have ID, no driver's license, but don't know what a questionnaire is, and never been even summoned, and no longer are at their parents, but use their parent address, mailing address, but they're still in that age group where they're still young and visiting. But I'm saying if that, and that population is the young population that does not watch the news, they don't listen to news radio or whatever, they are strictly listening to hip hop, pop, heavy metal. They listening to that, and that's a big population in Champaign that listen to that. That's where they get most of their information from. Whether it's news related, whether it's something that happened to someone but that's where I think
we have to target them.
We have to maybe take a look at that. Maybe take, well, how do we get some of those radio stations, and maybe even on the news, if we can get, come across that city council, Champaign, and say, hey, fill out questionnaires, because some of them do watch that, and maybe on the radio stations get a public service announcement, simple. And really, because I believe that may be part of the problem with not seeing these young people, because they don't know who I am. I'm not gonna never get called. I never send this, or they don't know about having an ID.
Or we don't know that they've got a questionnaire and they threw it away.
Yeah, they threw it away.
They don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
Well, again, you look at the jurors that come through that door. We get the 35 or 40 that come in. Randy and I are looking at them going,
well,
okay,
and
there's like two
almost
kids.
All white and almost
all over.
Well, and there are ways to get at it. I mean, MTV did the Rock of Hope. There are ways to get at that population. Yeah. We just need to be creative enough, and that leaves me out.
And has the support. And we also have to have the financial resources. There's a campaign that a video I was just watching about formerly incarcerated people, this group called All of Us and None. And they did this tremendous campaign out on the West Coast in San Francisco with billboards and everything, just trying to teach people with felony convictions that you can vote, that you can do various different things, right? Because you have to change the myths that are floating around and that are being perpetuated. And the only way to do that is with accurate information and education, so that becomes the dominant discourse. And that just takes a lot of time and energy. And I think we're on the right course, you all. We're just going to stay the course.
Well, how do we?
I have two questions real quick. When is the next radio opportunity?
September 3rd for WBCP is the next one. But I'll talk to Mr. Purtle because that's the first straight talk.
I am next. Yeah. I don't care. I'm next. All right. Well, we'll be there.
Okay. Can we? Second question. Hold on, Pete. Let me get the second question in.
That was it. I will be next. So just let me know when it is, and I will show up.
Can we look at now? Okay. 105.5. That's one radio station. What about some of the other radio stations? Maybe I don't know 93 that play. Urban contemporary, you know, maybe we need to start kind of talking to the managers and producers about at least running some, you know, something.
Yeah. Well, we can go, and yeah, we have some opportunities. Stevie J has that whole new, he's got that whole new set of stations that I'm sure they're looking for some sort of programming or wanting people to, you know, help get on there. I'm sure we can book something.
I mean, because I think that's they do listen to that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's the only
trouble we've had with that stuff is that commercial radio stations are trying to pay bills, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're only going to do so many PSAs. You know what I mean? You're going to have to.
But they have talk shows. I mean, you know,
there's different ways.
Like you know, DWS, you know, Penny for Your Thoughts, that sort of stuff. Yeah. That doesn't cost anything either, and that gets
So the proposed schedule next meeting in September, I have September 16th.
That's good.
So everybody can check the schedules. We can send that out, and just send me if that works for you. Send me if it works for you or not, or send me a date, probably after the 16th that does work for you.
Okay. So, and then let me confirm with me on the date for the radio and when and where I need to be, and I will be there.
Okay.
All right. Can you send that?
The spreadsheet thing? Yeah, I will do that. I'll also confirm exactly how many questionnaires I'm going to send out. So we've got that.
No public participation.
Nope.
This meeting is adjourned
6:25 p.m.
Maybe we'll just be in perpetuity forever.
Hey, you know.
Oh, you're not going to talk to
me. I think that these things come up and
you make the change.
Getting the brochures.
Yeah, that's going to be some out of here.